As we think about this whole idea of God appearing in the Old Testament, we have what's known as a theophany. And the word theophany comes from two Greek words. You all know the Greek word for God is theos, all right? So it comes from theos and then phaino, which means to appear. And so what we have when we talk about a theophany, and as you read theological books, you will see this word theophany appear over and over again. And the word theophany, basically what it means is an appearance of God.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the conclusion of Touched by the Angel. Jesus is the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament from our series, Everybody Ought to Know Who Jesus Is. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Touched by the Angel. Jesus is the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament.
John, we all know what that means. The Lord will provide. God will provide. That whatever you're dealing with, God has the answer. God has the need. And he already has thought through it and already has met that need. I always say that where God guides, he provides. Where he leads, he feeds. And where he directs, he protects. God always has a ram in the bush. I remember when I was in seminary, and on many occasions, we ran out. And we would always get down. I remember on one occasion that, I had two children. And we were about ready to eat on a Saturday night. And all we had was some green tomatoes. And I remember my wife. She was inventive, ingenious, creative. And she took those green tomatoes. That's all we had. And she dipped them in some flour and some seasoning, fried them up, and we sat there that night, and all we had to eat was green tomatoes. And the next day, I was working with a little church way out in the country down in Virginia. And after church, one of the couples took us out to eat. And we went out to eat, and they bought us a dinner, and we had steak and potatoes. And I told my wife, I said, sometimes it might be green tomatoes, and other times it might be steak and potatoes. But God is good, and God will provide. He will provide all of our needs. See, sometimes it's just like I heard one lady say, that we got this string, and that we work our way all the way down to the string, and just when we are about to get to the end of the string, God ties another one on to keep us going. God will provide. He will take care of your needs. David said, I've been young and I've been old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed begging bread. I said it once, I'll say it again, that I've never seen anybody trusting God standing down at the poorhouse. Now, what is the poorhouse? I don't know. I got to ask my dad. He'll straighten that out for me when I get to heaven. He'll tell me what the poorhouse is. But I would imagine that the poorhouse is one of those things that you don't know what it is, but you know when you're in it. You don't know what it is, but you know when you're there, right? And so if we trust God, God will provide, just like he provided for Abraham. And you know, when you think about this right here, the beauty of this is that Abraham believed that God was going to provide a sacrifice. First of all, he said, me and the lad, we will go, we will worship, we will come back. So he believed that God was going to provide a sacrifice. But you know what? And I don't have time to turn there this morning, but if you really want to read something powerful, go to Hebrews 11. Because in Hebrews 11, you know what it said? It said that Abraham believed that even if he would have killed his son, that God was going to raise him from the dead. It said that Abraham had that belief that if he'd have took that knife and that if he'd have drove it through the heart of his son, that God was going to raise his son from the dead. That's how much he believed that God would provide. This angel of the Lord, who is none other than the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The third instance that we see this angel of the Lord showing up, if you'll turn there to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. And in Exodus chapter 3, Moses has a confrontation. And the confrontation that he has is with a burning bush. It says in chapter 3, verse 1, "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the west side of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even under Horeb." Here we go. There he go again. "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw near here and take off your shoes, because the place that you are standing is holy ground. And then look what this angel of the Lord says. He says, Moreover, he said, I am who? I am God. I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. The angel appears to Moses. And this angel is the angel of the Lord. And he says that he is the God of his fathers. But then one of the most powerful things that he says in this passage, in verse 13, Moses asked him, what is your name? That when I go and tell the people that I'm representing you, what is your name? Verse 13, and Moses said unto God, behold, when I come to the children of Israel, and I shall say unto them, the God of your fathers have sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is your name? What shall I say unto him? And God, this angel of the Lord, said to Moses, say that I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. I am. This is a powerful statement. And I wish I had time to unpack it. I just don't have time to unpack it this morning. So let me give you the Reader's Digest version of it. The word I am in the Hebrew is known as a tetragrammaton. And what it represents is the self-existent, the eternal, the almighty, the everlasting God. And so when God says, and if you go and you study the phrase in the Bible, I am, just study it out. And basically, the word I am means whatever you need God to be. Whatever you need. God says, you know, he could have said, well, you know, tell them that Jehovah Jireh sent you. Tell them that Jehovah Rapha sent you. Tell them that Jehovah Nisi. He could have went into all these things. He said, but let's just cut to the chase. That when they ask who sent you, just tell them that I am. I am the all-sufficient God. I was meditating as I thought about the I am on this song. And the song says, Jesus is all the world to me. My life, my joy, my all. He is my strength from day to day. Without him, I would fall. When I am sad, to him I go. No other one can cheer me so. When I am sad, he makes me glad. He's my friend. Then the third stanza of this song says, Jesus is all the world to me. I want no better friend. I trust him now. I'll trust him when life's fleeting days shall end. Beautiful life with such a friend. Beautiful life that has no end. Eternal life, eternal joy. He's my friend. Jesus, he's all the world to me. that without him, I would fall. In him, I live and I move and I have my very being. If he were to withdraw himself from me, whither shall I go? The angel of the Lord came alongside Moses and he said, tell him that I am, have sent you. I am what? I am whatever you need. Whatever you need. And the fourth vignette is found in the book of Judges. And in the book of Judges, chapter 6, maybe many of us might not be as familiar with this story as we are with the other stories, but in this story, we see that God calls Gideon to deliver the nation of Israel out of bondage, and Gideon is hiding somewhere, and the Lord comes to him, and the Lord says, Hail, Gideon, oh, mighty man of valor. Now, how in the world is you a mighty man of valor and you hiding from the Midianites, you know? See, that just goes to let you know that when God gets ready to do a work in your life, man, he's going to change you. And so Gideon, the Lord tells Gideon, I'm going to be with you, and I'm going to use you to deliver the Israelites out of the hand of the Midianites. And then Gideon asks for a sign, and God says, bring an offering to me. And so Gideon brings this offering, and God consumes it with fire. And then Gideon realizes, if we look in, Judges chapter 6, Gideon realizes that this angel of the Lord was God. And he becomes so overwhelmed with this thought. Look at verse 21, Judges chapter 6 and verse 21. And so verse 21, the angel of the Lord, here we go again, showing up again, put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes. And there arose a fire up out of the rocks and consumed the flesh of the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, Alas, O God, for I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. And the Lord said unto him, Peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die. Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. And unto this day, it is yet in Ophrah and the Abiezrites. And so we see here, look what Gideon says about this angel of the Lord in verse 22. And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, Alas, O Lord God, for I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. Gideon is saying that I have seen God. And you know, as you read the Bible, it says that no man can see God and live. And so Gideon thought that he was going to die. And what does the angel do? The angel comes back and he says to Gideon, Peace be unto thee, in verse 23. Fear not, you shall not die. And so God gives him peace in the midst of his fear. That Gideon builds an altar and he calls the name of the place Jehovah Shalom, the Lord who is our peace. What do you have going on in your life right now? Are the waters of your life troubled? I want to let you know that there is somebody who speaks peace to your situation. He's able to get up out of the boat and speak peace to the storms in your life and calm those troubled waters. I was watching the news last night, and this is amazing. And I hope I don't offend anybody, right? I don't offend anybody. But what in the world is the deal with this duck down at the point? What? Amen. You offend. You would think that the duck is the Messiah, man. But I know, you know, the kids like it. So I know that, you know, it's good for the kids. And But they were interviewing this one lady, and they asked her, you know, why she was there. And this is what she said. She said that she went online and she did some research, and that she read that the duck represented peace and healing. I'm thinking, man, you know, you're looking at the wrong person for peace and healing. Yeah. Man, if I want peace and I want healing, I'm going to look to the Lord, man. You know, that's where I find my peace. That's where I find my healing. And Gideon, as Gideon was fearful because he thought that his life was over, the angel of the Lord comes back and says, fear not. Peace be still. Peace in the situation. You know, as I think about our life, in Psalm 46, it says that there's a river, and this river is flowing, and that all around this river, there are earthquakes shaking. There's tornado and hurricane. The wind is blowing. There's all type of disasters around this river. And it said that this river just keeps flowing. And that the river, with all this going on around, is undisturbed. There's not a ripple. There's not a wave in the river. And the psalmist said, the reason, because God is in the midst of the river. Amen. And no matter what is going on in your life, the hurricanes, the tornadoes, the earthquakes in your life, they may be shaking and rattling all around, but let me tell you something. If you just find a way to center yourself in the Lord, if you find a way to just center your life and to center your heart in God, all this stuff happening around you, you'll still have peace because God is in the middle of the river. And so we see this angel of the Lord is a powerful creature, is a powerful being. And he's able to calm people who are fearful. He's able to comfort people who feel alone. He's able to provide for people who have a need. And he's able to be whatever a person needs, this angel of the Lord. As I conclude the message today, I'm here to tell you that the angel of the Lord is none other than Jesus Christ. Now, actually, I'm about ready to finish up another book, and in the book that I'm writing, I go into great detail, and I don't have the time to go into detail this morning, so when the book comes out, you're going to have to get a copy of the book. Shameless plug. And I go into detail in this, and I know I'm kind of sketching through this, but if you want the notes, if you want the full notes, I'll send them to you to prove what I'm saying. So I want to let you know that this is just not something that I'm shooting off. First of all, the same designation is given to the angel of the Lord and Jesus Christ. When Samson was born, the angel of the Lord appeared to his parents, or before he was born. The angel of the Lord appeared to his parents and was talking to him. And Samson's father says, well, what is your name? And the angel of the Lord says, why do you ask my name, seeing that it's wonderful? The same Hebrew word that's used in Judges, where he says that his name is wonderful. Let's fast forward, Isaiah chapter 9, all right? And it talks about Jesus Christ. It says, he shall be called Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Somebody help me out. Wonderful. The angel of the Lord says, my name is wonderful. The Bible says that Jesus Christ, his name shall be called what? Wonderful. Secondly, Jesus is the only visible manifestation of the Trinity. That when you look at the scripture, we never see a manifestation of God, a physical manifestation of God. The only one that we see manifested is Jesus Christ. And when you look at the Holy Spirit is said is compared to wind. It says that he's like the wind that moves here and there. Now, we can't see the wind, but we can see the results of the wind. And so the Holy Spirit is like the wind. The only visible manifestation that we have of the Trinity is Jesus Christ. So this angel of the Lord who says that he's what? God. On many occasions. Now, I just showed you four instances in the Old Testament where the angel of the Lord said that he was God, or it was said that he was God. So the only visible manifestation that we have of God, the Trinity, is Jesus Christ. Now, the one time the Holy Spirit descends on Jesus, and it says, like a dove. All right, so that's the only time that we read any indication of the Holy Spirit taking on any type of appearance. But for the most part, the only physical, visible manifestation we have of the Trinity is Jesus Christ. Now, again, I'm saying all this, but I can prove it. And you can get the notes to back it up. Third, very interesting that this angel is mentioned only in the Old Testament. And after Jesus Christ came, there's no other mention of the angel of the Lord. No other mention. Now, go read the New Testament. We read about all kinds of angels in the New Testament. We read about angel after angel after angel in the New Testament. But not one time do you read anything about the angel of the Lord in the New Testament. But in the Old Testament, this guy was active. He was always showing up. Why is that? Because when Jesus Christ came, he was the angel of the Lord. And then finally, the angel of the Lord can only be the Son. Because the Father is the sender. He is the one who sends the Son. And the Holy Spirit, he again is invisible. And so the only logical conclusion that we can draw is that the angel of the Lord is the second person of the Trinity, which is Jesus Christ. Now, I know I got a little deep this morning, but again, if we, I find that people don't understand who Jesus is. And a lot of people, well, let's put it this way. So hopefully, if you're sitting here today, you got straightened out. If you filled out this paper and said that that statement was true, all right? But before today, a third of Bethany members thought that the first time Jesus appeared was in the manger at Bethlehem, okay? That's a third of a Bible-believing church with a Bible institute. Let me let that alone, right? It's obvious that everybody doesn't know who Jesus is. But when we see who he is, and then we see his work, even in the Old Testament, we can take comfort in the fact that when we get up here, the choir sang about him earlier. They sang about Jesus earlier. That this Jesus that we sing about is the one who can supply all of us.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Join us next time for the first half of Jesus Christ, Legend or Legendary, from our series, Everybody Ought to Know Who Jesus Is. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Touched by the Angel, Jesus is the Angel of the Lord in the Old Testament, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Touched by the Angel, Jesus is the Angel of the Lord in the Old Testament. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Touched by the Angel. Jesus is the Angel of the Lord in the Old Testament. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877 877- 831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our entire volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.